Welcome, dear truth seeker friends, to Earth Harmony Divinations. Today is Wednesday, October 15th, 2008. My name is Elizabeth Peter. Hope you're ready for an amazing ride into the future, actually into the now, this hour. But first, the outline of what you can expect from Earth Harmony. My mission statement, it remains the same. Let us focus on sharing joy, oneness, abundance, gratitude, and self-awareness at all times. Be ethical and use intuition, not fear. As I do at the beginning of each show, let's begin with the abundance intent. Let's take a deep breath and focus on our third eye. Abundance intent. I focus on the holy high self within as the only source of my prosperity. I know this inner presence as the only activity in my affairs, fill in the blank, as it is the substance of all things visible. I trust in the principle of abundance in action, within as without. And so it is. Today, as always, I would like to encourage you to call in to the show. I invite your questions, concerns, or comments, questions to our wonderful guests today. We have a packed show, a lot to discuss, so let us jump right in. Dear friends, as you may have guessed from the song at the beginning, our discussion will center around the subject of money. More precisely, the end of money, the end of the money system. How do we know this? Again, if you follow the yellow brick road outlined by the ancient Mayas and translated by the genius of a few good men, such as Carl Johan Kalman, about whom I talked a lot in the past, you can read the writing on the wall, even if you're illiterate. This 400-plus-year-old money system is leaving us. It is ripe as a good old apple. The harvest has come. Time for it to fall off the tree. This 400-plus-year-old money system that was the cog in the giant wheel of the age of powers has become outdated. It no longer serves humanity. It must go. The consciousness of the current galactic age has reached the midpoint, the fifth night, as Kalman accurately predicted back in 2004. He says, on this fifth night, this will mean not only a major downturn in the current economy, but more like a total collapse of the international monetary system and the beginning of the end of quantitative abstraction of values mediated by the left brain. Of course, this is an area that you need to check out for yourself with the book and research it yourself. But Kalman is absolutely correct. Well, today is October 15th. We are just a short month away from the end of the fifth night of the galactic age. This was just 1 year long of an age, which is normally it took 20 years in the previous cycle. So every day counts. And so we have not even seen the final showdown yet, our friends. This showdown is just beginning. Between now and the end of the cycle, which is around November 12th, we will see the completion, possibly around November 4th. That's the Titanic's final hour. But not to get you into a state of panic or fear, that is not my intention at all, far from it. We have the great fortune and honor to have with us on this show two wonderful guests, the creator of the Venus Project, a visionary social engineer, scientist, and great futurist, Jacques Fresco, and Roxanne Meadows, to help us envision the next steps humanity must take to keep us with the speed of this accelerated consciousness. Now, Jacques Fresco is considered by many to be a modern-day Da Vinci, peer to Einstein and Buckminster Fuller. Jacques is a self-taught futurist who describes himself most often as a generalist or multidisciplinarian, a student of many interrelated fields. He's a prolific inventor, having spent his entire life, he's now 90 years old, conceiving of and devising inventions on various scales, which entails the use of innovative technologies. As a futurist, Jacques is not only a conceptualist and a theoretician, he's also an engineer and a designer. His organization, the Venus Project, named after the town he lives in Florida, works to provide a global vision of hope for the future of humankind in our technological age. The Venus Project reflects the culmination of Jacques' life work, the integration of the best of science and technology into a comprehensive plan for a new society based on human and environmental concerns. Dear friends, our humanity is finally ready for Jacques Fresco's vision of a different, more just, and sustainable form of coexistence, the resource-based economy. Question is, will people listen to him this time? I believe that there is no time to fight, bicker, and stall the progress anymore. So it is my honor to introduce you, Jacques Fresco and Roxanne. Hello, Jacques.
Hello, how are you? Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you for being on the show. How are you doing?
Just great.
Wonderful. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. I'm so honored that you have accepted my invitation on such a short notice. Hello, Roxanne.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Thank you for taking the call. So what I would like to do is to save time. Before we ask any questions, Jacques could introduce his work a little bit, and then we will go into a few question and answer period. Is that okay with you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So go ahead, Jacques.
Okay. What the Venus Project proposes is a resource-based economy. Now, of course, as you know, I'm a futurist, and I do not say things that people like to hear. I'm not a politician. I will just tell you the kind of future I envision. And I do not wish to offend anybody, but I'm going to be very direct and very truthful. For example, most of us, and there was a time when most people believed the Earth was flat, but that doesn't make it right. Now, scientists could have said, well, folks, it's a little round and a little flat. Then you get along with a lot of people, but it's not true. It's not the business of science to appeal to people, but to tell the truth as we know it. So I'm going to tell you, if you're really interested in bringing an end to war, poverty, hunger, and most of the problems that exist today can be solved in a resource-based economy. A resource-based economy uses resources rather than money. I will try to describe exactly what that means. If you were shipwrecked on an island with $10 million and the island had no water, no fish, no arable land, you have nothing. It is not money that people really need. They need access to the necessities of life.
Correct.
To clarify that point, if you live near a waterfall with gushing clean water, and it's just a mile wide, nobody steals water because it's abundant. The air you breathe is very abundant. No one set a price tag on it yet. If we run out of water, I think today we're beginning to do that. You have to pay a buck for a glass of water, only because it's becoming scarce. So in a scarcity system, money is a necessity.
Right.
If through technology, particularly nanotechnology, we're able to produce an abundance, the need for money will disappear. You're brought up to believe, by the sweat of your brow shall ye earn your bread. Actually, that's not true. I remember when people used to operate elevators. They never quite got it to the floor. Now the people have been moved out and electronics moved in. And the elevator always takes you to the floor you want. You just press a button. Now, even if the door closes on you, the elevator, it opens up again. And it won't start until you're in the car. This is what I mean by a resource-based economy. People always say, how much will it cost to build your new cities? That isn't even a question. That's based on a very early language the language we use today was designed hundreds of years ago, and we're not even going to use it. We can't even use it for communication.
Exactly.
The real question is, do we have the resources to do these things? Today, we have the resources to build hospitals all over the world, housing for people all over the world. There's really no need for poverty, hunger, or war. When few nations control most of the Earth's resources, there's going to be trouble. No matter how many laws you make, no matter how many treaties you sign, when you sign a treaty with another nation, if that treaty does not serve their interest, they will violate it. I want to say this again. We have signed many treaties, and we, Americans, have violated the treaties that did not serve our interest. Man makes laws, and most of the laws that man makes have nothing to do with nature. Man-made laws are designed to control people, like thou shalt not steal, or don't steal, or don't take an object that doesn't belong to you without the permission of the owner. All of those laws are made to control human behavior. I guess there's hardly any need to tell you that our prisons are filled with lawbreakers. Making a law doesn't stop people from stealing. It doesn't stop anything unless you deal with the problem itself. In our society, we don't even touch the problem. Politicians say things people like to hear. Theologians say things people have a need to hear. But scientists, even though the majority of people believe the Earth was round, was flat, they say it's round, and they show the evidence. We used to talk in terms of, I'll see you at sunrise. The sun really doesn't rise. The Earth rotates in that direction. And scientists have proven in detail, how that works. So you see, scientists do not concern themselves with winning approval, merely telling the truth. Now, the truth, as I use the term here, of course, is relative. None of us can really perceive of the truth, because the receptors we have, our eyes, our ears, our nose, does not enable us to see the world as it is, only based on the quality of our receptors. I remember once in talking to Einstein, I said that, do you believe in truth? He said, what do you mean by truth? I said, well, are there certain fundamentals that are absolutely true? He said, well, see if you can think of such a fundamental. Well, I said, this chromium on my watch is very smooth. Yes. Is that true? And when putting it under a microscope, it looked like hills and valleys. So I said, is that what it's really like? And he enlarged it again, and it looked like slippers. I said, is that what it's really like? He says, no, it's only based on your receptors. We cannot see things as they are. And all these people that call themselves truth seekers, in order to seek the truth, you'd have to know a great deal about a great many things. So you see, we don't even have the receptors. Now, the electron microscope enables us to see things that we cannot see visually. The ordinary microscope shows us bacteria that we can't see. So the world we perceive of is really something that people have put into our heads. When we're very young, if you're brought up in France, they say, you are a Frenchman, you must be proud of France. If you're brought up in Italy, you get the same thing. If you're brought up in America, you're brought up as a patriotic American. Really, the future people will have allegiance to the Earth, that is, take good care of the Earth, and allegiance to all the people that live on Earth. That's what you pledge allegiance to, the Earth and all the people that live on it. To do your best to enhance the lives of all people. This will be the future. That's why I say in my many lectures that we'll never, never make the history books of the future. We're so crude and so vulgar as a society. But all societies are the same. Yet we are not civilized. Being civilized is an ongoing process. It's not something you attain. There's no such thing as utopia. meaning where everything is worked out all right. Everything changes. You cannot design the best television set. You can do the best television set with what we know up to now. But 10 years from now, it'll be very different. It'll be 3D without glasses. Then after that, you have proximity units, people that can walk around in your room that are not even there. And then you'll have teletactile, where you can touch and shake hands with people that are virtually projected into the room. There are no final frontiers. Human beings have a limitless future, and it could be fantastic. However, today, the United States has 300 submarines. Each one has more destructive power than all the wars in history. How stupid can you be? What can you solve with that? Think of all the soldiers trained as killing machines. What if they were sent to school as problem solvers, and you taught these many millions of soldiers how to work on and solve problems and produce abundance and solve shortages all over the world? Wouldn't that be much wiser than the stupidity of military systems? Of course, if any soldiers are listening, I would like to tell them something. When they conscript your life to serve our country, they should conscript all the war industries so no one makes money out of war. War has always been big business. So if they just conscript your lives and not the aircraft factories and the cannon makers and the shipbuilders, you must have total conscription if the war is real. Otherwise, it's a money deal or about oil or about taking advantage of other countries. So far, when England, there was a time when England, they used to say the sun never sets on England. Where did England get all this property? Through war. They took it by force and violence. All nations do the same thing. They all kill. They all torture. Because we are not civilized yet. What the Venus Project proposes is a resource-based global economy. Now, here's how you bridge the difference between nations without using war or force. All the people on Earth need clean air, clean water, arable land, and a relevant education and health care from birth to death. All people need the same thing. All mothers love their kids. They're not that different. But in order to kill people, they show you motion pictures of people doing terrible things. All nations do terrible things in war. They say, but there are boys out there fighting. Our boys have never been brought up as generalists. Unfortunately, today, we condition people to become cogs in the wheel. That is, a scientist is in optics, another scientist in mechanical engineering, another scientist in botany, biology. In the future, we will never produce a specialist. You'll be a generalist, so no one can use you to make weapons against any other human beings. That would be the beginning of a civilized age, when all the nations join together and work together. Now, people say, well, is that possible? There was a time when the states were separate. I'm talking about the United States. And they used to fight each other. There was militias at the border. And once all the states joined together, all the military systems disappeared at the border. And we lived together. It's going to take all the nations joining together to build a better world. You will never achieve civilization as a separate nation.
Thank you so much, Chuck. That was very, very informative and very vital to hear. And as you know, our economy is in a free fall because of these 400-year-old powers that maximized their absolute power is now absolutely corrupt and it's ripe to be ruined. So they collapse. They are collapsing on their own weight. So what I wanted to ask you is, do you have any practical, quick solution ideas about how we can climb out of this quagmire quickly? Let's say on a local, small, local scale, like in a small city, for example.
Yes, we do. So far, we've been invited halfway around the world. Next month, we're going to Turkey. We've been to China, Dubai, Ecuador, and we've been to Iceland. And everybody now, through magazines, wants to know what the Venus Project is about. And they're writing us up all over the world. We've had practically no write-ups in the United States. Some people liken it to communism or socialism. Let me tell you that communism uses money. They have armies, they have prisons, they have police, they have social stratification. We have none of those things. We have nothing in common with communism and socialism, except they're not radical enough for this day and age. We can do far better than those things. In other words, eventually, the best way to get to the majority of people and tell them what the Venus Project is about is through motion pictures. So what we do here at the Venus Project, we produce films and videos depicting what the world can be. I don't know what it will be, only what it can be. And we have those things available on our website, which is www.thevenusproject.com.
I urge all listeners to please visit thevenusproject.com site, because it also has a link to all those little video clips that you mentioned. I watched them all, and it's a work in progress, correct?
Yes, I would just like to mention some things just to make it a little clearer what a resource-based economy might be. Our social design, our monetary system, was designed hundreds and hundreds of years ago and based on scarcity. But today, we have the technology to create abundance for everyone all over the earth. A resource-based economy is working towards making all of the Earth's resources the common heritage of all the Earth's people. And we use no money, no barter, no credit, or any servitude of any kind. We just make goods and services available. The main concern is the intelligent management of the Earth's resources. It's not anyone's wishes or aspirations or philosophy. It's just the management and distribution of the Earth's resources and making them available to everyone, including clean air, clean water, arable land for food, and maintaining in the environment and a relevant education, not for people to have jobs, but how to get along with one another, how to maintain a higher standard of living in all areas.
Roxanne, as many YouTubers, I find you and Jacques' ideas on about the Venus Project by watching the new sensation of the Internet, the Zeitgeist movie.
Yes.
And so, that's probably what really hit worldwide. And I was just amazed how patient Jacques must have been to put up with these antiquated times all his life. So I am just in honor of that. I urge everyone to please visit the Zeitgeist movie. It's spelled Z like zebra, EITGEIST movie.com. And you are specifically featured in the addendum portion. There's two movies, one that came out in 2007 and the second one just hit the Internet worldwide in October, and I watched both of them. I am so glad that you talk in detail about the resource-based economy. I read your book a little bit. Of course, it only gives us a small, brief outline. How do you see some practical implications, like right after this collapse, because I believe the collapse is just a minute away? How can a local, let's say a small town or a local community, quickly pick up the pieces and move forward?
Well, we do think there's going to be a collapse, and we're trying, what we feel is the most important thing is to get these ideas out there, because no one else is advocating a specific direction to move towards, which is for the benefit of people and the environment, instead of the benefit of just a few. So we want to do a film. We want to get more exposure. and anybody can help in that way. We don't feel that we could do patchwork to help maintain this system. So little people, I mean, people working together in little communities really, I mean, the best thing they can do is try to survive, but it's not going to improve this system. We're advocating a totally new system, the resource-based economy, and we're advocating new cities, too, that are efficient and clean. We can't patch up these cities and make them healthy and livable. So it really, the Venus Project deals with all aspects of society, but people have to know about it and understand it and want to advocate it. At a certain time when this system begins to fall, we can't make it happen alone. We're doing all we can, but it's really what other people take up and do towards this that might make it happen.
There is no elitism, technical or otherwise. It's not a society run by scientists. It's a society managed that keeps in perfect accord with the carrying capacity of the Earth, not the opinions of people. In other words, first we have to do a global survey to see what resources exist, factories, transportation. Then after we do a global survey, we know the parameters of what's available and how big cities can be and how many hospitals we have to build. But there's no more money involved. Everyone is given health care from birth on up. Everyone has access to the best education possible. Our aim is to develop the highest potential in each individual. Just imagine what would happen if we took millions of soldiers and educated them in problem solving and how to bridge the difference between nations. How much more effective that would be. Today, we have even built a shelter for congressmen to go to, hidden under a mountain, with enough food for 6 months. What are these congressmen going to come out to? A burnt-out radioactive cinder? How stupid can you be?
Exactly.
So I'm trying to say this, that politicians and politics was great 100 years ago. Today, there are far better methods. And politicians do not know what to do. They really don't. If you sat them down and say, you can do anything you want. When I meet a politician, he says, I'd like to help. I said, how can you prevent automobiles from hitting one another? I'm afraid of the space program, although that may seem shocking to you. A nation that is not wise enough that goes out into space, I can assure you, in a very short time, or even maybe now, there'll be nuclear weapons going around in outer space. Only when the world learns to live together in peace, when we achieve that, then we can go out into space as a joint venture. Right now, we're not wise enough.
That's true. You make the point in your book that the most important requirement for this new resource-based economy is really free energy. And I think that humanity just finally evolved to a point where we know how to use free energy. It's like almost like a grassroots movement. There's a lot of young engineers, innovators, scientists who are ready to hit the road running with all these existing knowledge, like by Tesla or Myers. And like you mentioned, a lot of different types of technologies that can be used for free, and that could possibly lead into this new resource base.
Yes, there's lots of free energy. There's the sun, the natural volcanic heat of the earth. You know, in Iceland, they grow bananas. Did you know that? And give them to the school kids by free volcanic energy, and it's not toxic. And there's a wave power, wind power, solar power, heat concentrators, wave energy. The temperature differential in the oceans between the higher and lower surfaces, that we can put turbines in the East River and the Hudson River and the Gulf Stream and generate all the energy we want. There's no shortage of anything except brains in Washington.
So, you know, I follow the Mayan calendar's timeline very closely, as you can see, and maybe you're not familiar enough about this, but Everything in on this is on schedule, and so humanity finally reached a point where these power systems are on the decline, on, you know, they're dying, they're short dead. And so we just reached a point where you were patiently waiting for all your life, Jacques. You must have had some extraordinary faith in our humanity and its ability to rebuild itself into this. It's just that your message was probably too early. And so now that the total collapse is here, it almost like gives people no chance to get into a bickering fight about politicking about it. We'll just have to rebuild as quickly as possible. This way, nobody can really take advantage of anyone else's efforts or whatever.
Well, Elizabeth, they gave these billions of dollars to the same people that caused the problems.
Exactly.
Yeah. They had money. The public has never been educated. They think they go to the university and get an education. All education is managed. All broadcasting, except, of course, a very few, all that is propaganda. And when you're very young, you're told that the greatest incentive is the money system. They think people won't do anything if you take away the money system. Well, Jesus Christ, Martin Luther, Gandhi did wonderful things, Mother Teresa, without money. In other words, all the reward for money is a lie, actually. They tell people that what will motivate people when they have access to things. They make the assumption that money is the only driving force. There are a lot of people that write and paint pictures and are starving and don't have money. And there are a lot of people that don't want to live in this monetary system. And they live under a bridge. They're called hobos. To me, they're well-adjusted. In other words, we admire people that have accumulated enormous amounts of wealth, which is everything Christ talked against. Even the church has conformed to the monetary system. I have seen members of different churches blessing war tanks in our country and Italy. I mean, Catholic priests in America bless the American soldiers. In Italy, they bless the Italian soldiers and the Italian war tanks. So here you have religion as an attempt to produce social sanity. Obviously, it doesn't work. It never has. The wars are getting worse, even though our universities are better equipped than ever. The wars are becoming more destructive. They surpassed the hydrogen bomb today, and they've made so many new destructive systems. So I don't want you to get mad at technology. This system, the monetary system, abuses technology. When we are saner, we will use technology in a different way. When a new machine comes in, you will work 4 hours a day. As the machines improve, you will work 2 hours a day, longer vacation, and more goods and services available to more people. You will never be brought up to be patriotic. The reason is we owe so much to so many nations. People came from all over the world that made this country. They brought ideas from different countries, different methods. And I'd like to say this, that really there are no good or bad people. There are people that come from environments of great deprivation. And in those environments, meaning if you were raised as a baby by the headhunters of the Amazon, if you never saw anything else, you'd be a headhunter. So if they're not bad, in other words, if you go to ancient Rome and families used to go out to watch Christians being fed to lions, and the children would say, "Daddy, can we come next week to watch Christians being fed to lions?" And Daddy might say, "If you behave yourself." Are these kids sick? No. They live in a sick culture. Our culture is sick. So are all other cultures. I don't mean to pick on the United States.
We're not born good or bad. We're not born with bigotry and prejudice and hatred and evil. We pick that up within the culture that we grow up in. Our role models, our teachers, who we aspire to, the books we read, the movies we see. All the movies today are really negative and detrimental to people and tremendously negative on the future. So we want to advocate something else and show within all types of medias just what the future can be. People haven't a clue. They have no idea what's missing. They don't really know where to put the blame. This culture puts the blame on the individual, so they feel terrible if they lose their job or they don't make it. They think it's their problem. But it's really the culture's problem that produces this type of people or lays people off.
Yes, I've noticed that even some of the young people are so brainwashed by it that they do immediately jump to conclusions about your ideas as, like you mentioned, communist or socialist. However, they can only think this way while we're still mired in the money system. Once the leveling field is completed, everything is starting from zero, they will have no chance to make such prejudiced comments, because everyone will have to really just scram for survival, and they will be, I hope that your education then will take root, and they will finally realize, hey, we better work together or we'll all fall apart together, correct?
That's right. And this right now is a perfect time for having Zeitgeist come out, because when people lose their jobs and lose their houses, today they're not wise enough emotionally or intellectually to sit back and look at society and say what's wrong. But when they do lose their jobs and society falls, that's when they begin to look for something else. They can't do it before
that. Even the rich, you know, at first what creation was doing is just slowly took away houses from the middle class and in America and in the Western countries. And then now it's starting to reach into the more, you know, affluent areas. And so now they're starting to slowly wake up, and slowly and gently the whole thing is getting washed out and leveled out. I am just at awe at how this whole process is unfolding in front of our eyes, kind of like the way the Titanic was sinking slowly. And those who had more awareness, they went to the deck and they immediately took action. I feel like you're those people who are on the deck waking everyone up to see that we're all together, all one in this survival right now. And humanity will make it to the levels that Jacques envisioned.
Elizabeth, let me say one more thing. There are many people that have been brought up in the monetary system, and they become the self-appointed guardians of the establishment. The society of the future will not be an established society. It'll be an emergent society, one that's ever-changing and ever-growing. That's why we can never arrive at utopia. And those of you that are real Christians out there, remember the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no business in heaven, no money, no social stratification. So this is the nearest thing to the personification of all religious teachings.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, I have great faith in the younger generation, the 30-somethings and even younger, who already came wired into that kind of a belief system or whatever you want to call it. They don't even understand our systems. That this is why there is such an incredible fight and torture of our youngsters, who actually think faster. They're on a higher consciousness level than we are. And so they will pick up this system very quickly.
You're exactly right, because we are literally getting thousands of emails and lots of calls. We have to take the phone off the hook so we can sleep. And they're all coming from kids. They give us their name and their age through high school to 30 years old.
Exactly. These are the people who are already wired in their DNA to take on the baton and create this world. You know, Jacques was an early messenger, and he is an early messenger, and I'm so grateful that you are able to get your message out in your lifetime and you still see this coming to fruition.
And Elizabeth, so you got my age wrong. I'll be 93 in March.
Oh, bless your heart. So you okay. Definitely have seen the worst and possibly maybe the best right now, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Hopefully. We think that if these ideas aren't out there and enough people don't advocate them, there'll be a lot of suffering in a transition if we make it to a sane world. We feel that the military is the only organization that's organized, and if this starts to, when it starts to fall apart, there'll be more of a military dictatorship and there'll be a lot of problems.
Well, my feeling on that is that if the money system falls apart, that's the cog in the wheel of the powers. And when you pull that out, everything basically collapses, including the military. You can't fight an ethical war, and you can't fight the war without money and without the resources that they've taken from the rest of humanity.
Yes, that's true, and it'll fall all over the world.
Yeah, this is worldwide. This is why how amazing. I see this as a symphony of creation, how the higher dimensional creations came and completed this consciousness on this planet, and this is what Kalaman goes into, how we are at that stage right now. It's taken billions of years to create this consciousness on this planet. It's not going to screw it up at the very end. We'll just have to make an individual choice. Some of us will go forward, like Jacques is suggesting, but there will be some dinosaurs, some Neanderthals, who will refuse to go with the evolution. And they will die out, or they will, I don't know, they'll go somewhere else. We don't know.
That's true, but there's no advantage in the other. Being cooperative, you get much more out of it. It's kind
sure,
of
sure, surely, but you know, we all know that there have been dinosaurs and they have been Neanderthals, and they will just never accept any progress. So this message is for those who want to progress, who want to see humanity survive, and this is why I am just. I feel so fortunate to have run across this information, and thank you so much for bringing it to the Zeitgeist. I know there's a lot of attacks on the Zeitgeist movie right now, isn't there?
Thank you, Elizabeth, for the opportunity to permit us to present the Venus Project.
There are a lot of attacks, but we really don't pay much attention to that. We just go on with what we feel is necessary to do, and there's a lot of people out there that are looking for something else.
How did you get involved with the Zeitgeist movie?
Well, after the first film he did, as you know, it was the most downloaded major documentary on the history of the Internet, and a lot of people came to him and said, what do we do? Where do we go? And he didn't have an answer. And the person who made another film on Jacques sent him his film. When I knew he sent him that film, I sent him Jacques' book, The Best That Money Can't Buy, and he really got it. He really understood it. And so he came out here and stayed for 5 days and interviewed us, and primarily Jacques, and spent a whole year making the film.
Now, do you know any more visionaries or think tanks? Now, I'm not talking about the money-based groups, but any progressive think tanks such as yourselves that could share in your vision and help bring this more to be implemented?
No, we do not. We've been putting out, hands of cooperation. I've been working with Jacques for 33 years now, and we've been trying to reach out to groups. But they're interested in their own agenda within the monetary system. They think they can patch up little things here and there and that will make it better. Well, they really can't do that. We are advocating a whole new social design that bypasses the systems that produce aberrant behavior and that produce the inequalities in society. You don't need to fight for human rights and black rights or women's rights in a society that makes things available to everyone. We know no one else that's doing this. The liberals are trying, we call them the 1929 liberals, that are just fighting the inequities in the system, but they pose no alternatives. You can work for 20 years to try and get rid of a problem, say, beating kids, young kids in prisons, and you might achieve that, but another person becomes elected and you see the scars on their back again after five more years. There's no way to make this system just or equitable for everyone. It's based on scarcity and tremendous corruption. We're all vultures after one another. You get in a car accident and somebody makes $1,000 off you. You get a toothache, somebody makes another couple $1,000. That's not the way to live. We don't need to do that.
The Age of Powers did a really good job brainwashing most people, but I do have hope in, for example, the baby boom generation. Remember the 60s. There was a preview in the 60s, a very brief period where people did come to this consciousness for a short period of time. Of course, it was oppressed immediately. But my belief is that we will find ourselves back in remembering that consciousness and joining with the young people to bring this about.
Yes, but I don't think that they really did have much of a consciousness about how society works. I think they were emotionally involved mainly with the war and perhaps a sexual revolution. But they got married and got mortgages and got sucked into the system and helped promote the system and maintain it, just like other people do. So it really takes a greater understanding that it is the system itself that needs to be changed, and they did not have an alternative to it. It was more emotional, I thought.
Do you feel you need more people to join your cause? Do you want to have a group, are you creating more of a group around yourself to help with this work?
Yes, we would like to do that. The main thing is getting exposure to these ideas. We will be putting up on our website, for people who sign up on our website on the front page, we will be telling them when we're going to have posted on our website how to get involved, what they can do. It's mainly exposure to these ideas. What we'd like to do, our next step, would like to do a major motion picture, either to go up on the web or maybe theaters. I don't know if they would accept it, but we could put it directly on the web or a TV series where we show people, the general public needs to understand really what's missing. We want to show it in a film. We want to show what the future could be when you use science and technology for the benefit of people, not to abuse them like they do in this culture, and then show the tension, not in the future, because we don't believe there will be any then. We show it in flashbacks of how we get from where we are now to where we need to go in the future. Okay. So that we would like to do that because we feel it would reach the most amount of people in the quickest time. But we need people's help to get exposure out about these ideas in any way that they can and to learn more about it, order our books and videos so they can speak about it and talk to other people about it, get on the web and do whatever they can.
And that is my intention today as well. I'm trying to encourage people not to fall into this quagmire of fear and panic, but instead stay centered and strong within themselves and realize that it is not us who is dying. It's the system around us that's dying. We're going to walk away just with our shirts on our backs, but at least we will be free. And once it's kind of like walking out of a prison, then you're free, and then you need to figure out how you're going to rebuild your life. And
very good analogy. The earth is still there. People still want to work and contribute. The goods are there. We just won't have the money in our pockets. We could build anything we want at that time.
Right. So, I still am kind of puzzled about how we go from the money system, you know, how we use the intermediary times. How do we even exchange goods and services just to survive for the time being until these new ideas and new free technologies and the free resource-based society can establish itself.
Well, as I said, the movie would help. Even the Zeitgeist movie is helping tremendously. So we're being approached by a lot of people. So we can get, it'll be a catalyst. All the different medias, and like your show too, can be a catalyst to get people together who might have the ability to do something. We're going to be talking to somebody about a first city, perhaps tomorrow. We'll see what happens. That would be a tremendous thing, and a motion picture. So we're working as hard as we can on it. The transition will be the toughest, but it just depends on where we are in the fall before we can get something initiated and how many people are aware of this direction and want to help.
Well, according to some of the researchers that I study with, they are predicting a showdown on November 4th specifically, not because necessarily because that's the day of the election, but because it just so happens, you know, with astrological calculations as such, that that will be a showdown day worldwide. And so I don't think we have much time at all. We might not see money. You know, they might freeze up all the banks anytime after that. And so we will have to do with whatever we can to create some kind of an interim situation and then go with the ideas that you're advocating. That's the only way out.
Essentially, the intelligent management of the Earth's resources to house and feed and clothe, we'll eventually have to do that. As I said, they'll be using the military to keep people under control as much as possible, but they'll eventually have to deal with the problems.
We haven't seen much in terms of help from anything. We already had a preview with that with Katrina and other emergency situations, and we could see how ineffective those systems are already. I believe
exactly
that
right.
Our major government systems are in tremendous shambles, and it should be that way because if the money system falls, all the government systems fall with them. They are in bed together. So I don't believe, and I don't share any fear about how we will be somehow in this prison control anymore. Fortunately for us, I think they are basically dying with it. Don't you agree?
Yes, you're right.
More people are lining up today. They're looking for something new, and this is the first thing they've found, they told me. And we're getting letters from all over the world, and people, and we're being published all over the world, and people want to know more about the Venus Project.
And they want to know what they can do, too. So hopefully we're working as quickly as we can. We've been working at this, like I said, I've been working at it for 33 years. Jacques's been working at it all his life. And it's not that Jacques was ahead of his time. The times were behind him.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows of the Venus Project, for taking time out from your schedule to bring us to this most vital, important information and share your views on how we can proceed from here, as it is beautifully laid out also by all our ancient ancestors, such as the Mayans. Humanity is on a schedule. We are at the stage of our consciousness where Jacques Fresco's ideas, visions, designs of a resource-based economy can be implemented. That is our intention today. It shall be done.
Thank you, Elizabeth, again, for the opportunity to present these ideas.
It was such an honor, Jacques, and I hope you can come back at a future time, perhaps in a month or two. Would you mind coming back on?
I'd be delighted.
Thank you, Elizabeth. We deeply appreciate it.
I really, truly appreciate it also, and all the best of luck with all your work worldwide. I know it's going to be gruesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Friends, there is a next step soon to come. After the dark of the night comes the dawn, and we are just a few minutes away from this bright dawn of the new, what the Mayans call the sixth day. So as I do on each show, let us finish with this incredible time of with our gratitude intent, closing added gratitude. I'm grateful, and I know now that there is nothing that I could truly desire that is not at this very moment standing at the door of my consciousness ready to appear in my life and affairs. I have only to be conscious of this truth, and every need is met, every problem solved, every question answered. My consciousness of the Holy High Self within is all I will ever need for all eternity. And so it is. Friends, our next show will air live on Wednesday, October 29th at 2 p.m. Please check the web pages for details on upcoming shows or visit the Earth Harmony Archives if you missed any of our programs. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Elizabeth, checking out. Until we meet again next time, have a wonderful harvest fall. Blessed be all.